Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
You're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. And we found a new year. Yay.
Yay. 2022.
Yep. That was a nice break. I have to say, I did, I threatened to post encores. I just shut it all down. I just said, I'm done. And I took the time I would spend and I did stitching, and it was really nice. I just sat up here and watched movies in my little room and stitched away, and it was really nice. So, yeah.
That's great.
Yep.
Good to have a little break, a little different, a little different.
Yeah, because we say that, but then I think we mentioned the last time that just before we started our break, we did five shows in 4 days. Yeah.
Oh. No wonder you didn't want to do any more, even bother loading anything
right
up. It's like, this has got to be, I've got to be done with this.
That's right. Yep. That's exactly how I felt. I'm done. Because 5 in 4 days, that was a lot. That was really a lot. But,
It was fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the nature of this beast, though. When people can record, you record them because everybody's got their own thing, and we're not a top priority. So, I wanted to give an update on Samplers Magazine. Because it was going to be a Jan-Feb issue, was when we were going to start. Well, that's now going to be a March-April. I had to move it for a lot of reasons, some of them personal. My artist's husband died, so that was a factor, just because, that. And just some other things. So just delaying it a month, but Samplers Magazine will be out. Right now, the target will be sometime in late March will be the first issue. And I've got people working on articles right now, got a nice lineup of articles, and so it's underway, yes. Looking forward to it.
Yes, I am looking forward to it.
Yes. I just got word this morning. We're recording Tuesday from Trish Wynn at Thistle Threads. She's going to do a column in every issue on threads, historic threads. So.
Oh, great!
I was really hoping she'd do that. I was really counting on her, but I know she's extremely busy with all the things she's got going. But she just sent an email with an outline of articles and said that she worked it out so she could do it. So that'll be a highlight. So every issue we'll hear about historic threads from Tricia.
That will be fast.
Yep. So we got that in the works. It didn't fall by the wayside. It's just other factors get in the way sometimes. And once we get it going, everybody has it in their system, then it'll move along. So. Yay for that. The 19th now, Kathy Ray will be back after several delays there. On the 19th, Kathy Ray will be back on the Wednesday night show and with Thread Talk. And Stitch and Chat tonight, Wednesday night, the 5th. Jennifer, Beth, and I will be just Stitch and Chat. So join us for that, 8 o'clock Eastern on the YouTube channel. And Jennifer just posted this morning that she finished a couple of things in her Tamari Ball thing, so we'll have to make her show that.
Yeah. Those are gorgeous.
Yeah. I don't think we'll have to actually make her. She's usually quite willing to show, so. we'll have to have a concert. She got an organ from her husband for Christmas, or a keyboard, electronic keyboard, so.
That'll be fun.
We'll see if we can get a little something out of her.
Music.
Yep. So that's coming up tonight, and then Sunday, one of those that we recorded before Christmas, Jude Kingshot will be our guest, and you're gonna go. It's eco. The bulk of it is eco printing and bookmaking. And you're going to go, what's that got to do with stitching? Well, she incorporates embroidery into her eco printing.
Right.
And, wow, what she does is amazing. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It is. And I think for those of us who do more than just, we stitch, but we have you know, other things we do. It's interesting to hear how she integrates both, you know, what she, her eco printing and the stitching she does on top of it. It's just gorgeous stuff. I found it fascinating, person to talk to.
Right. Yeah. I enjoy it. See, and you have much more interest in dyeing and eco printing and those kinds of things. I have no interest whatsoever, but, the process intrigues me, and what you guys can do with that stuff is just amazing to me. But then what I take out of it as a needle worker is, all right, we have something printed, and now we take some embroidery techniques and some thread, and we enhance it.
Right.
And so, you know, I start to say, all right, where else can you do this kind of thing? What right. other kinds of things can you do and enhance with needlework? And so then the wheels start spinning.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And she was just fascinating. I just found her so interesting. Definitely a fun listen.
Yep. Yeah. She was good. So that's Sunday, Jude Kingshott. It's KingShott, if you want to look her up. And just see some of her work. And it's Jude, J-U-D-E, Kingshott. And you just, I mean, that's an unusual name, so just look that up, and she'll come up. If you want to look at some of her work, it's really, really just beautiful, and the process she goes through and the whole bit, yeah, it's really good. I just stitched, and I did two things during the break. I worked on Sarah Parr, the sampler I'm working on, and I made a lot of good progress. And then I started dressing. Dressing is the proper term. A slate frame with Kathy Andrews' King's Pineapple.
So did you get it set up?
No.
Did you get... Oh. See, now this is discouraging for me because I have a slate frame and I need to dress my slate frame. But I'm like... Gary's never get it all the way done, so I don't even want to start.
Okay, so let me. All right, so the two stories are intertwined. The sampler and the dressing of the slate frame are intertwined. Okay.
Okay.
So, Kathy sent me a link to a video. I forget who it was for how to dress a slate frame, but it was not a slate frame. It was a scroll frame. But that led me to a YouTube video with Jenny Aiden Christie. And if Jenny Aiden Christie, a guest some time ago, got to get her back. Go check her stuff out. She is one of the most amazing embroidery artists that you'll ever encounter from England. But so she takes you through step by step, half step by half step, how to dress a frame. And so I decided I would use her approach. Well, her approach requires... that you get some cord like you would use for blinds, window shades, curtains, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, and you sew that in. You lay that along the side, and then you flip the cloth over, and then you sew it. And then that gives you a stable edge on the sides.
Right.
And then you punch holes through the cloth with an awl. And then you string it on the sides. But that cord then gives you something stable so you're not just pulling on cloth threads.
Time out.
Yes.
You punch through your ground linen with an awl?
Yes.
Oh, see, you just made my heart stop when you said you did that. I was like, what?
Yeah. To thread the lacing through.
Right.
On the sides, yes.
So, that makes me nervous just hearing you say that. Because I could see myself just, that seems like it's dangerous.
Apparently not. She did it right there on the video. Okay. Looked quite safe to me. So,
All right.
And I ain't questioning Jenny Aiden Christie. I'm telling you right now. I'm not, no way.
Well, no, but I mean, you see people do these things, whether it's like punch and pounce or that also I always am afraid to do.
Right.
But taking it all to a piece of needlework, you know, that just seems violent. You know what I'm saying? Anyway.
Yep. Well, that's what you do.
All right.
That's what you do. So I got the cord, and I went to Joanne's. It took two trips, okay? Because the first trip was buying. No, it took three trips. Okay, the first trip was buying cord, and I bought cord that's way too thick, and I didn't buy enough of it. So then you go back. I went back and got cord that was thinner, and that worked, and I sewed that in, and that worked. But I just bought barely enough. Okay, stupid. Yeah, how many times have I done this? So I bought just barely enough for that project. Well, I also wanted to dress a slate frame with Natalie Dupuis' Van Gogh piece.
Okay.
So it's like, why didn't I buy two more feet of cord? You know, how hard is this?
Right.
And so then, but the cord that I got was still, I thought, a little thick. So the third time I went back and I got, I don't know, a couple of yards, you know, enough of this, of the thinnest cord they had, and brought that back. So I haven't done that. So I stitched in the cord. So that's all ready to go. And then you attach the top and the bottom to the webbing of the slate frame. And there's a very specific stitching technique or stitching pattern that you use to attach that so you can pull tight on the thread or on the ground cloth and not stress the overall thing. And right. She explains it. I mean, she explains it in such detail. And she does it. And then I'll put it in the show notes. I'll put a link to the video. And then she'll do a close up where you can see right up close exactly what's happening. It's very, very well done. So that's where I'm at, is I'm ready to sew the ground cloth to the webbing. And so that I got to that point, but then, I didn't have thread to do that. That's what it was. I didn't have everything was like any house project where, you know, it's 14 trips to the hardware store. Well, this was five trips to Joanne Fabrics. Fortunately, it's very close by, so that was okay. But the third time I came back for cord, it was the same lady each time. And I just came back, and I put the thing of cord down so she could cut it. Oh, buying more cord, are you? You're not supposed to notice it's me, you know? I says, yes, I'm learning. And she said, I understand. And she cut the cord and sent me on my way. So
that was nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's where I'm at, is I'm now ready to sew. But then I didn't have heavy-duty enough sewing thread.
So what kind of sewing thread? Is it like a buttonhole weight?
It is, hang on. It's right here. Let me get back to the microphone, then you can actually hear me. What Jenny suggests is Coates and Clark dual duty.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, so that's what I got. Dual duty heavy.
Mm-hmm.
White. Or as it says here in the bottom, gross grueso. Somewhere in some language that must mean this holds up under all kinds of things. So I had to get that. So that was a trip. And then when I got the slate frame from Needle in a Haystack from Kathy Ray, then she also has there the thread that you use to lace. So I bought a spool of that. It's Londonderry linen thread size 4 lacing thread.
Oh, okay.
So that eliminated that guesswork because she had it right there. So I bought a spool of that. So now I'm fully equipped. So the next thing is I got to sew the ground cloth to the webbing with gross grueso. So that's that. And then she shows you how to, boy, she puts that she puts that thing on and goes to put the pegs in. And she just, I couldn't believe how hard she pushed down on the linen. And she put the pegs in, and then it's like she gives it a chance to relax, and then she pretty much stands on it again to get it to the next hole. It's like, this is going to be tight as tight can be. And, I have no doubt that when I get done, I'm going to either have a mess or I'm going to have the tightest ground cloth I've ever stitched on, one or the other.
I think you're going to like it. I think, you like your ground cloth so taut.
Yes.
From what I've heard, that you're going to love having that slate frame. And once you get it set up, you're just going to enjoy it.
I hope so. I can see visions as I was working on it, visions of that being my primary holding device.
Right.
For just about everything. I mean, I can see that. So we'll see. We'll see. So that's where I'm at on that. And the reason that's not done is I was working on the Serapar sampler and having a good time with that. And I think when we last talked, I had several movies lined up, so I had to watch my movies, and was stitching away. But then also I'm changing the biggest project was I'm changing the verse in the sampler, and because the one that the original verse is. It kind of makes sense, and it's just basically depressing, so it's not happening. So I'm giving this to our daughter, because that's her maiden name is Sarah Parr. So I'm taking the last line from the verse that she used in her wedding from Paul something or other. Here it is right here. Colossians 3:12-17. So the last line is, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So that's what I'm going to use, because she had the whole 12-17 is the verse that they used in their wedding. And so I'm using that last line, and that's a good line, just whether it was in a wedding or otherwise. That was to chart that, because that has to be over one. So that, and I'd been putting this off for a lot of obvious reasons, because I'd have to chart it. So I forget who it was, a guest we had, used the app Stitch Sketch. Yeah. And I had made a note of that, because Jennifer had suggested I just do it on Excel, on a spreadsheet. And I started to do it. I made a couple serious runs at it. And this is one of those things where, I make a serious run and it doesn't go well, and then I have to go do something else, so I can't focus on it. So this past couple of weeks, I had a chance to focus on it. And I just wasn't having any luck with the Excel thing, and I'm sure it was more me than Excel. But I had downloaded this Stitch Sketch app, and I thought, all right, now I've got some time. I'm going to focus on that, and I'm going to make that work. That little sucker works great.
It was hard to get it to graph your verse out.
No, the interface is clunky. I'll tell you right now, the interface is clunky. But there, surprise of surprises, there's a Facebook group for Stitch Sketch.
Really?
Yes. And so I joined that and got enough tips. And then there was a lady who had done a couple of videos and got enough that I was able to get over the hump with the thing. And then once you get a grasp of how it works, then and for some it may make perfect sense. For me, it was just not logical. But then I got it. So then I was able to – and then it has a type. You just literally type in – the words. You don't have to sit there and fill in dots or anything. I just typed in the words.
Nice.
And it charted them. Check that out, huh?
That would be great.
Yeah.
That could be such a pain to write in every single word and wrap it out.
No, this typed it right out. The only thing I had to do, and this took some time, was it did not... space things consistently. So, because I was putting, I'm doing it over one, I'm 40 count, so I was putting one thread between letters and two threads between words. So sometimes it would butt the letters right up to each other, or there would be three instead of two threads, you know, whatever. I have no idea what drove that. So I had to sit down in the chart that it created and just move things. And so that was a little tedious, but it wasn't bad. And I just, as I was working on that, I just reminded myself, this is a whole lot less work than sitting there and filling in squares on a grid.
Right.
So that worked out, and it was just a simple Helvetica, sans serif Helvetica font. So that, and that's what I wanted. I didn't want anything fancy. I didn't want to have illuminated letters or anything, just a simple thing. So I got that charted, and then I started stitching. I didn't trust the chart. And so I started stitching. So I got in two or three words, and I realized that I had I was off center. I thought, well, anyway, I went through a whole thing. Anyway, I was off center. And then I looked at the chart. Well, the chart identifies center, and I didn't trust it. And so then I had to tear out all that over one on 40 count, which you can imagine what that's like.
Yeah, that's not.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. So then I trusted the chart. So then I, and I'd already basted a square for where the words needed to fit. So I'd basted that and had it all centered and everything. So then I went back and trusted the chart, and the first line went in perfect. So the chart, the software generates a chart that works perfect. But yeah, that takes a long time to stitch that over one stuff. And so my plan was, all right, stitch a line of over one, then go do a motif or two, and then go back and do another line.
Right.
So that's where I'm at. One line's in, two lines to go. But then I looked at the original, and that space was filled with four lines. So I should have broken things down. But the breakage in the way it was written in what I printed out, three lines was a better break in terms of readability. So I'm leaving that, and then I have some decent gaps at the top of the bottom. So I'm just going to pull a little border motif from elsewhere in the chart and just repeat it there centered to kind of fill that in and set off the verse. So,
right. Yeah, that'll be great. That'll look nice.
Yeah. I'm pleased with it. Yeah, it worked out.
But doing over one.
Yeah. Well, and then so I did that line over one, mm-hmm. got it all done. I was happy with it. Then I went back to stitch over two. Holy smokes, I felt like I was stitching these gigantic crosses. Because you get so used to that little tiny over one stuff. And
right.
Yeah.
And we were going to do Portifet. And so that too, when you work on that, I think it's 53-something, 62-something. Yeah. It's like you're working on that and you get used to it. And then you go move to 40 count and it's like, man, these are big.
Yeah, it's amazing the illusion that happens there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's my saga, my Christmas saga of intertwined projects. And it was just one of those, you know, I'm past the halfway point on the sampler, but then that big empty block was sitting there and I knew that was going to suck up a lot of time and I still hadn't charted it. So it was okay. I can sit here all day for a couple, 3 days and fiddle with this thing and get it the way I want it and learn this software and make it work. And so I jumped at it and I'm glad I did.
Right. And it's good that you're breaking it up because, you know, the doing over one is like, you know, it is tedious.
Yeah.
So break it up and say, okay, I'm going to, you know, a carrot and a stick sort of thing.
Right. That's exactly what I'm doing. Exactly what I'm doing. Yeah, carrot and a stick. Yeah. Yep. It's like background on needlepoint. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I highly recommend the Stitch Sketch. Now, I think it's just for Apple. And I did it on my iPad Pro, and I know it'll work on the iPad. I'm pretty sure that's what it said. It was that. So check it out. If you want a chart, and it, you know, I'm not going to reproduce samplers, but for this kind of thing where you want to change a verse, I mean, you just tell it, because I based it out, the rectangle where it was going to go, counted the threads, horizontal and vertical, put that in, and said, that's my chart size, and then typed in the words, and there it was. And you print it out, and it prints out a really nice chart. You can change colors. You can tell it what colors, but I didn't care. I was just using one color anyway, so I didn't mess with that. Yeah, it was really good. So you get a nice print, you get a PDF and a very clear printout that's easy to follow. And, you know, you name it, you copyrights, it puts on there a copyright with my name and the whole bit. Yeah. So you could easily do your own charts with it. And I think once you got used to the software, that you could do your own designs with this thing without any trouble at all. But, and you can set your grid. So, like, I have my grid at 5x5 on the grid, but you can do it 10x10, 20x20, whatever, you know, do whatever you want. But I had it 5x5, because it just worked better for me for this particular thing. So, yeah. Recommended. I think it was, did I pay $10? I think I paid $10 for it.
Well, yeah, but that's worth it for not having to mess. Well, and I don't mess with Excel, and I've ended up graphing by hand.
Yeah,
which is tedious in and of itself.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It's nice.
No, this was this was the way to go. And then when I discovered, all I had to do is just key in the words, and it would chart them for me. It was like, thank you very much. So, because I did three threads between, or two threads between words and one thread between letters, and then, it was three threads between lines.
Okay.
That was, I just set some parameter. So it was three threads between ascenders and descenders. So like the T goes up above the regular words, like E, if you have TE, the T goes up two threads above. So from that, the top of that to, say, the bottom of a G, that's three threads. So in a lot of instances, there's like if I do just regular letters that don't have ascenders and descenders, there's five, there's seven threads of a gap there. But
right. But if not, you might have run into problems where a G and a T would have intersected with each other. If you
right.
Set that parameter. Right. Right.
Right. That's why you have to decide ahead of time what kind of gap you want. And and I've looked at mine a couple times, that first line I stitched, and thought maybe I should have had two threads between letters and three or four between words. But you can quickly get too loose. The letters get too loose, and then it makes it hard to read. So I think I did the right thing. I mean, it reads fine. So, and I'm not tearing that out again. So it doesn't matter.
And you've shown pictures of it. It looks nice. It looks nice. And that's not the, I mean, not really the focal, is it, of the design?
No.
And I like the idea that you're going to put some borders in around it. I think that'll look nice.
Yeah, it was just a little gappy, but it also seemed like I could use a border to set off the verse. So there was a plus in doing that. So I'll fit that in. But yeah. So anyway, yeah, and I made good progress on that. So I'm pleased with that. So we're cooking along. Yep.
That's good. And the other thing is, so Sarah's on your WIPCO. Was it one of the ones called this time?
Yep. Came up in January. So Sarah Parr sampler. So I've already got a couple hours recorded for January, because I'm doing, I think I stole from you, because you, what are you doing? How many hours are you doing?
I'm trying to do eight on each project.
Okay. I think I just did seven. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. I did seven on each project's what I'm doing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think the nice thing about the WIPCO is I was thinking about that while I was stitching. I was like, well, sometimes I'm not going to have an hour, you know, in the summertime, I have less time to stitch. And I thought, well, that's all right. I'll just move it to, I stitch on it 8 days. And
yeah,
whatever that day it happens to be, if it gets 10 minutes, that's all it gets. That's just, at least I'm making progress.
Right, right. Yeah. So, okay. So what came up on your whip go board?
A spring hill. Oh. And then a rose. So.
Okay. I just talked right over you. So spring hill. And what was the other one?
More than a rose.
Oh, okay.
So spring hill is one I'm working on right now. Cause it's a nice, I still have college students home. So it's a nice, easy to pick up and put down, project. Where I'm at on the more than a rose is the plaited braid. And that's going to require, I've got to get a doodle cloth out and practice that and play with a different thread. And so I'm looking forward to it, but I need my Christmas to be put away. The living room to be straightened up again. Right now it looks like a disaster. Anytime I lift my eyes, I'm like, oh, I just want to clean everything out. I'm ready to clean this mess up.
So basically that one has to happen after the nest is empty again.
Yes. 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 So, but I'm looking, it's nice that I have a variety. So I have got the cross stitch piece, the spring hill, and, but then the more than a rose, that'll be a nice little challenge to work on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plated stitch to look nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm at the fun bits on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So this whip go thing, you know, I mean, all right, we're what, 5 days into the year,
right.
But already I start to see the benefit, because for me came up Sarah Parr. Okay. I've been working on that steady anyway, so that's good. But then the other one that came up for me was Prince of Peace by Erica Michaels. And that is a little 3x3 on 40-point silk gauze. Right. Well, I don't have the silk gauze. That's on its way from Stitchville, and then you found a source, and you're sending me another piece, so now I've got silk gauze to burn. Deb at Stitchville, USA, had it. So that's on its way to me. So, and what I built into my whip go was some ones that I had purchased and wanted to start, but hadn't, you know, they aren't technically whips, but I wanted to start them. So I built them in to force me to start. And right. I wanted to do this one because it's on silk gauze. And I've wanted to try silk gauze for some time. So I put this on the chart and thought, well, this will force me to set it up. Well, of course, it comes up in January and I don't have the silk gauze, but on its way. So like you, that's going to give me a chance to learn something new with this. And that was the other thing I tried to get out of this whip go effort, is some of these things where there was something new to learn, I was going to, it was going to force me to do it. That's like the King's Pineapple on a slate frame. I have that on my chart for whenever that comes up. I'm going to have it set up before then, but it, you know, it's another thing to make me learn and try something new. And, rather than it being a true whip where it's already in progress and I just need to work on it.
Right. And it's nice. That's the nice thing about this whip go. You can, you know, some people were saying, well, I don't have 25 whips. And I'm like, what? You don't have 25 whips? Let me talk to you.
Yeah. But, yeah. You need help.
No. But it's a good way to, you know, to start some of those projects that maybe you've had that, you know, like that are just lingering there, that, you know, you want to start, but you haven't taken the time. And the fact that you're starting a silk gauze, I had, I think I was given this, it's a Marine Appleton, if I can speak. Friends are a blessing, and it's on silk gauze. And I've wanted to try silk gauze, and I thought, well, Gary's starting his. If he starts putting a needle to thread to his, I'll pull mine out and see what it's like, you know, because I've never stitched on silk gauze, and I've wanted to try it for a while.
Yeah.
And, but it's kind of fun to start to try the new things, you know. You know, we have all these projects that maybe we've purchased that we haven't ever put needle to thread, and it'd be like, okay, let's at least see if we like it. I mean, what's the worst? If I hate it, I'll put it in a guild sale and say, right. Okay, guys, I hated this. Touch knife, two stitches in, you can have the whole kick. Get rid of it.
Yeah. No, I mean, to me, that's what, because when you say what's a whip, work in progress, well, when I buy these things, I intend to do them. I don't just buy them to own them. I intend to do these things. And a lot of them are because I'll learn something new. I want to try something new. I want to try silk gauze. I want to see what that's like. I want to experience it. Maybe I'll like it a lot. Maybe I'll hate it. I'm with you. Yeah, maybe I'll hate it into the giveaways it goes. So that's, to me, that was what this whip go thing, one of the benefits is, all right, this will put on the board and force me to get some of these things that are sitting on a shelf, get them out in the open and start working on them. And, the Bristol Berries, Linda Stoltz, Bristol Berries, strawberry or berry things. I have that one of those charts, and I wanted to do a berry, and I just keep putting it off and don't get to it. So I put it on the thing and make it to show up. Rosashi, that kit, Rosashi kit. You know, I've been wanting to get to that. I put it on the thing to force me to do that. I think I'll start that before it ever comes up on the chart, but you know, that's, yeah, it's there. You got to take a whack at these things. So,
right. And the thing is, like, for me and working on Spring Hill, I have to quote unquote work on it for 8 hours, but it's the day after 8 hours, I'm like, okay, I'm tired of working on this. I can pull another project out and work on it the rest of the month. It gives you time to work on other projects too. If you're just trying to make progress on some of your whips. And that's what I put on my board, is a lot of repeats on whips that I thought, no, I really want to make some serious progress on these and not be flitting from thing to thing, from project to project, try to get some things, some of those whips done, especially the larger ones, because I prefer large projects. So I need to, you know, they need some serious time put in them to get them done. So kind of forces the issue that way.
Yeah, no, I can see the benefit to this thing without a question. And so, yeah, I have my little chart made up. And if you're interested, you can start the WIPGO thing.
Right.
It's not something where, you know, the year started, you can't start. You can certainly start. We did a couple of Wednesday show where Jennifer took us through the whole thing. And then there's a live show. And then, and this was in early December, and then there's a podcast that Jennifer and I did where she dragged us through the whole thing too. So there's plenty. But if you go to Facebook, to the WIPGO 2022 group, and join that, you'll pick up on it right away. And boy, some people, their charts are works of art. Holy smokes!
No, I know, and they add their photos to it of their.
Projects.
Like, you know, yeah. I'm lucky I got something drawn down and thrown into my bullet journal. I was like, okay, done.
Yeah, I have this grid with the stuff typed in and little boxes to check off the hours I put in, and that's it. But yeah, some of these people spend as much time on that as they do on the project.
right.
Yeah.
But it's whatever works for you, whatever works for you.
Yep. Well, and that's key. You know, that's the key thing, because if reading the posts in the WIPGO group is people say, well, what are the rules and what are this? It feel like they have to follow some. No, you make a grid. There's 25 boxes. You put in your projects that you want to work on, and you do it however you want. And like you're doing 8 hours, I'm going to do 7 hours on each project in the month. It's just a way to kind of keep you moving forward and to make sure you try these things. But even if you don't, if you fail, like Jennifer had a couple of months there when she was in Colorado last year where she didn't keep up. You know, nobody came and arrested her. You know, it was just, yeah, I didn't get it done. But then when she got, you know.
Right. And I think the other thing is, some people, like we were joking about not having enough whips. Well, so let's say you're a monogamous stitcher. So you put that project all the way through. saying you're going to try to get so far that month, or or, you know, or you're going to work on it so many hours. And then when you're done, maybe that's your kind of your reward. You get a, you get to start a new project, whatever, you know, makes you happy. That's the point of it all. It's just a way to make progress on the projects you have.
Yeah.
And some people put like mainly new starts. That's what they wanted to do. And I think that's great. You know, whatever works.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's just completely flexible. So don't feel like you know, I got to follow this whole set of rules. No, the rules that you follow are the ones you make for
right.
you.
Right.
That's how it works. Yeah. But it's nice. I'm liking it. So.
And what for me, the other thing that was nice about this was she drew the numbers, Jessie Marie, and they were 2 and 19. So whatever those two projects were the ones I was going to start working on in January. I was feeling a little with Christmas and the mess in my house with the kids around. I was feeling a little overwhelmed, like, oh, what do I work on? This kind of took that out of my mind, which was also helpful. It kind of limited me on what I'm quote unquote supposed to work on. But the other nice thing is, you don't have to work on whatever is quote unquote called. Again, it's your rules. Let's say I wanted to work on my painted canvas piece. I could have worked on that. No one's going to come and arrest me if I work on
right.
that instead of Spring Hill, right? It's just to keep you motivated. That's the idea. It's just a way to be motivated to stitch on your project.
Yep.
But it's whatever works for you.
Yeah. No, it's a good idea. What I once thought was a silly gimmick, I'm all on board. Yep. Yep. No, and I'm going to defend your kids.
Oh.
The mess is the difference between you and your husband and 3 teenage young adult people living in the same house. It's just... Yeah.
Right. It's just different. It's just
they're not slobs.
No. It's just everybody's coming through and it's like, okay, it's just different. It's just different than not having anyone here but Max and I. So
yeah,
it's fine.
So defending your kids, you know, I'm here for your kids.
Yeah, they'd be glad to hear you're defending them. That'd be great.
So I had an exchange with Beth Lindsay, did a show with her. She was the marketing manager, chairman for EGA, and her term just ended. But I have occasional exchanges with her. And talking about these stitching things, and we talked about a meditative stitching, did a whole series on that with Avlia projects. But Beth wrote to me, and this really put a nice perspective on it. She and this was in reaction to something that we had said in some show. Don't know, don't care, doesn't matter. But she says she describes herself as a mood stitcher. She says, I have easier projects that I like to work on in the evening after work, and I just want a meditative type of stitching. Then I have more difficult projects for when I'm fresh and want a challenge, such as gold work and stump work, and sometimes even my own designs. And I thought I put that in a real nice perspective when I looked at the two pieces that came up for my whip go, and then you just described essentially the same thing with the two that came up for your January whip go, is one that you can sit and the kids can be around and you can talk and just make X's, and then you're more than a rose where you get out of my house, I gotta focus, you know.
I can't figure this out when you guys are talking to me. Sorry.
Right.
So yeah, that's and she's right. I think there's different times even in your and seasons in life where maybe, you know, your life is busy. When I had little ones running around, I think I mainly did cross stitch because, you know, you just really needed something simpler. At least that was simple for me, and I could work on it with kids, little ones.
Right.
And now I'm, you know, I have more time. I can work on more challenging pieces. You know, in the quiet of the day when no one's home and it's just my husband and I, and it's just nice. But
yeah. And you guys have been married long enough. You got nothing to talk about. So you can just stitch.
It's like, I can tell him, just a minute, Max. I'm counting. Hold on. And he totally understands.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah. But that I thought that really put it a mood stitcher. And you know, you talk about being a monogamous stitcher where I only work on one project. You know, that might be it might be something for monogamous you know, whatever those M people to try is to have two projects and try that mood thing where right. you know, maybe I want to stretch myself. So let me go find a more complicated or more challenging project for me. And then work back and forth. And people talk about, oh, I get burnt out. Well, here's an example of try something else. And but I thought she described that well, Beth Lindsay. Yeah.
That was a good way to put that, because I think it's true. I think especially like in the evenings now, you know, after cooking during the day or doing things, I just want to do something that it is not too challenging. And I'm sure, you know, people who work during the day, a lot of times it's like, okay, I just need to do something calming and cross stitch does that or certain stitching does that. Whereas maybe on the weekends you have more time and more energy and you can work on, you know, like she said, the stump work, gold work, gold work. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it'll be a while before we see you do gold work, but okay. Yep. No, well, in that, you know, when it comes to that meditative stuff, if you're looking for a meditative piece to work on, go to Avalia Embroidery, Mediterranean Folk Embroidery, and she has an M next to the number of charts that she has that are meditative stitching, where yes. it's a repetitive pattern. You don't have to keep referring to the chart. You can just sit there and just move needle and thread and let your mind go. And so if you're looking for something along, you say, well, what is meditative stitching? Go to avaliaembroidery.com, I believe it is. But just put in Avalia, A-V-L-E-A, it'll come up. And Krista West has several charts. And there's a little M in the shopping area. There's a little M next to them. And the ones that she considers meditative. And you just get one of those. You can get it from her. You can Kim at Sassy Jacks carries her things, and of course could kit up the thing for you, but yeah, and there's some really some valid can we say science? There's certainly some validity to meditative stitching in terms of just sitting down in the evening when you're just exhausted and just letting your body relax and
right
yeah.
And I do think so. I think there's been some scientific research done. It's like knitting or crocheting. It's the repetitive motion of it. It kind of calms you down. At least it does for me. And it just kind of, I don't know if your mind is racing, it kind of just kind of calms it. And I, like I've said before, I've been stitching and gone to donate blood and they're like, okay, your blood pressure and your heart rate are too low. What have you been doing? Because it's like the middle of the day. Like, oh, I was just stitching with a friend. They're like, okay, we can't take you today because you're just too low. We just can't. And yeah, okay, it does.
It works.
It does work. It does work. So highly yeah. recommend it. Yeah. And she has beautiful charts for that. And she yes. has a new one out. That's like a bread covering, something one of for the Orthodox church that they do. But I keep thinking it would be beautiful to do for any sort of like an Easter gathering to have that, to have one of those stitches. It's a single color, which makes it very nice for those sort of projects.
Right. Yeah, a lot of her designs are they're single colors, but even if there are multiple colors, it's rarely more than three or four. So you're not changing colors all the time, and yeah, she really has a style, and I really like her stuff. It really is nice. So
yes,
but I know Kim at Sassy Jacks carries them. So in terms of you can buy either place, and Krista West at Avalia sells kits too, but she has a bunch of PDFs you can buy and download. So any number of ways you can do it. But, yeah, it's worth checking out, particularly if you're interested in meditative things. So
right. Right. And that makes me want to ask you a question. Did you see Jacob, Modern Folk Embroideries? He's doing his Stitch Along.
Yes.
Which is what is he doing this year? It's some sort of sampler. I don't know. Is it Vigeland or
Friesland?
Friesland. Maybe that's it. And I would think that would be a cool one to do for meditative. Because, again, you're doing a single. Generally, you do those in a single color.
Yeah.
Those would be really neat.
Yeah, a lot of his are single color. Yeah, where you can just sit there and just go. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, there's I think we've seen, certainly in the last year, a lot more interest in those single color samplers. Or taking any sampler and saying, I'm just going to stitch this in one color.
Right.
There's a lot to that. It's like you finished Honest Day.
Right.
That thing is stunning. All one color.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's some, and I'm itching to start another one that's just a single color. There's something about that I find totally relaxing. I don't have to make any decisions about what thread I'm pulling. There, you just start and you go and you follow the pattern and away you go.
Yep. Yeah. What, Kim has, got hanks of, I think it was MPI silk, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. And so I have a hank of a blue coming and I have a sampler that is going to be one color and it's going to be the blue. And, yeah, it's, yep. Just, for that very reason, same thing. Yep, just stitch them. Don't think about the colors. Don't care. Yep.
Right, right. And then you had that that one Bristol band sampler you've been working on.
Yep.
Which is, again, you know, you were kind of making decisions as you went, but you were using all blue, correct?
It's one color, and then I'm using Bristol motifs or bands or patterns from Bristol sampler charts. So the only decision is to make which design am I going to stitch for this band? And, but then once I decide that and after a couple of repetitions, then I don't have to look at a chart anymore and I just stitch it all the way along. That's another one where my whip go is going to come into play because that's my travel piece, but I'm not traveling. And actually the first event where I would have had to travel in, February, we're not making the trip because of the virus. So that has been kind of languishing. So I put that on my whip go board to bring it back to life because I was taking that and in the evenings in hotel rooms was stitching on it. So I was making progress. Well, I haven't made progress in some time because that's in a bag for travel and,
right.
Yeah.
So I have a question. Are you thinking about doing those Bristol berries in blue?
Yep, I am.
And I wonder, because that would look so, I know you don't do displays, but Marga would probably like it that they both match. And then she could do a little display there with your Bristol berry and your sampler somehow.
Yep. I have the Bristol berries 3 chart. And there are three designs, and yes, exactly. That hank of blue that Kim at Sassy Jacks is sending is targeted for this. I'm going to get a white linen and have that. It's kind of a deep blue, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. Yep, you got it. Mm-hmm.
That'll look nice.
Yeah,
that'll be nice.
Then I don't know.
All on your. Got to wait for them to be called on your whip go board then.
No, you don't have to wait, but I got so many other ones going. That's probably what'll happen, but that's okay.
Right.
Yeah, I don't mind.
No. And again, beautiful designs. Those Erica Michael berries are just great fun.
Yep. Now you got me thinking though. If I'm doing that band thing. If I'm doing that band thing in MPI, it's an MPI blue, silk blue. Should I use the same for these? No, I'm going to I like that. I like that other blue that's coming. Yeah.
No, I think because it's not like it's, unless it really clashes, but I doubt it would. I mean,
yeah.
I'm guessing fine next to each other. They don't have to be exact matches. Everything doesn't need to be matchy-matchy. At least I don't think so. But
good to know. I'm not going to worry about it. Because I got some other banding that I got from Susan Greening Davis. Three other lengths of banding that I have to figure out. I want to do something with those too. I love that banding stuff. It really is a neat ground cloth for doing things on.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I've got a piece that I haven't touched, but it just looks like it would be fun to stitch something long and narrow on it.
Yeah.
But the Bristol samplers, I loved your idea on that one. That was just so neat.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that one. I really like that one. That's working out really well. Yeah.
And I could see you, so you don't like variegated threads, but I love just a slight variegation in them. Mm-hmm. And that would just add a little movement in them, which would be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't. I'll pass. And if you're wondering what banding is, Sassy Jack Stitchery, Kim has a whole rack of them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're like 5-6 inches wide, and you buy however long you want it, 30, 40 inches, whatever length you have. And they already have some, almost all of them have some kind of a border woven into them. Right. And you know, there's all kinds, and I think most of them are like 27 count, but they're very nice to work on. And you just put them in a hoop and stitch away, and yeah, they're really, it's just a really nice take a long project or whatever, and then people finish them in different ways. A lot of people get those antique tap spools from weaving mills. Yeah, mills. Mm-hmm. And you can get antique ones. We need to find a woodworker who will make those. You know what I mean? Because rather than traipsing around to antique stores, somebody who will make those big spools for banding. Need to have a word worker for that.
Right. And then you could have them make it whatever width you need then.
Right.
Instead of trying to find one that's the right height for you.
Right. Yeah, because that's the problem every time. If you're into antique stores, it's too narrow. It's too wide. It's blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Yeah. So we need a woodworker who'll do that.
Yeah.
We'll work on that.
Mike, maybe we could talk to him.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. That would work. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I have never have been a fan of these year end, look back, look forward type things, but I was curious. Do you feel like you, in last year, do you feel like you got all the stitching done you wanted to do on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being I nailed it, you had a 7, an 8, where are you at? Do you feel like you really made progress, or is there an element of frustration?
Well, I think it never seems there's ever enough stitching time, but I think I did make some serious progress. I think about a 7 or 8. I finished Anya's Day. I finished Royal Garden. I finished a big baby gift, a sampler. So I think I made some serious progress last year. The only thing is, like I've said before, I tend to like big projects. So I have all these very large projects that take a lot of time, that I haven't gotten as much work done on them as I'd prefer.
Yeah.
So, but I think I did. I think I made some serious progress on a lot of things. And I finished some things. I did get some things that were started. I got them finished. And that to me feels satisfying. There's something satisfying about finishing a project.
Yeah.
And having it all done. So, but I notice when I look at what I stitch, since I tend to stitch big projects, I've got to look around and pull out some smaller ones. So I have that satisfaction of finishing things. There is, I've been looking at all my projects that are, that I've been working on recently, and they're all big and none of them are anywhere near completion. And it kind of frustrates me a little bit. And that's why I'm thinking I need to find something that's smaller, to work on that I can get done.
Mm-hmm.
Like finishing things. I like having a finish. Even if I don't do anything with it, if it's stitched, I can be like, I'm done. Okay. I've stitched it. I'm done. Yeah. I don't need to fully finish it, but there's something about that.
Yeah.
That gives satisfaction.
Well, something to be said, because yeah, I tend toward large projects too. I'm with you 100%. But something to be said for small things that you start and a couple months from now it ends, and or a week later if you can work on it pretty steady it ends. Yeah, there's some gratification. I think that's where a lot of samplers. One of the benefits of them is when you finish a motif, it's like you finished a little project and. There's just a little bit of satisfaction there, yes.
Mm-hmm. And even doing, I was even, because I seriously considered signing up for Jacob's monthly stitch along for this year because it looked intriguing.
Yeah.
Something satisfying. Okay, you stitch the one for the month. So you're done. You don't have to look at it again for the rest until the next one pops up in February. There's right. Something satisfying about that. And then at the end of the year, you have this, you know, decent sized project that you finished.
Right.
If you keep up.
Yeah. See, that's, I'm not starting those because another way, Jacob, but then Brennan and Karen Kirk, Linen.
Right. Linen and Threads.
Linen and Threads. That's a very popular annual stitch along thing. And Brennan does a tremendous job with his designs. And I started one, and I was behind before February came up, and it was just forget it. I just don't keep up. So, but yeah, he's now there's one. That's a Facebook group, and that's very popular. Thousands of people stitch those.
And you know what? Even if you don't stitch them, it is like I didn't do theirs last year, and I'm not doing it this year. But I'm part of that group. Because I love seeing the color combinations people come up with.
Yep.
And I find that very inspiring. So even if you're not stitching that, but you're looking for color inspiration, it is fun to watch that group and see what people have stitched their pieces, how they've stitched them.
Yep. I'm with you 100%. I'm a member of that group too. And it is absolutely amazing how creative people are with color combinations and what they do with those designs. Cause he just gives you a design. He doesn't say this is the colors,
right.
Nothing. He just gives you a chart. You decide on your colors. Yeah. I really enjoy that. Wow. You just sit there. You came up with that. Holy smokes. That's beautiful. Yeah.
Right. Right. And and interesting, even if you think when people pull threads and you're thinking, I wonder how that's going to work. And it, just stunning at the end of the year what people have chosen and the colorways, and it's just fun to see.
Yep it is. Okay, now we got to get wrapped up, but there's a couple other things that I wanted to ask you about. So and one thing I want to mention, if you are looking for a really cool charted canvas needlepoint design, Orna Willis, her Naomi's Dragon, check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Did you buy it yet? Did you? It's a class, right?
It's a class. No, and I'm resisting.
I figured you'd collapsed by now.
No resistance. I've resisted so far. It's beautiful though, I think it's 50 or more threads. And her color, again, talking about color combinations, she uses the most interesting colors when she stitches.
Yes.
And she's using so many different threads in that piece that I find that intriguing. But yeah, no, I'm resisting on that one. I'm
Okay. I figured you'd collapse by now.
No, I have not. I have not. I've been very good.
Okay, we'll see. Adornbyorna.com. 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 And it's Naomi's Dragon. And it's a beautiful, beautiful design. And so it's a class. And Orna Willis is just fantastic. One of my favorites by far. And so if you're interested in that, check it out and sign up. But act quick. I think it's coming to an end soon. So in terms of sign up, because the class is going to start. But right. And you want to get your kit. But yeah, she does amazing things. So. Yep.
And she has beautiful, I think the other thing that's amazing about her, she has a beautiful presentation of her threads for people yes. who, you know, just the way she sends it to you is amazing too. So.
Yep. So wanted to mention that. And then now coming up later this month, we were doing the calculations. We will finish 5 years of Fiber Talk toward the end of January. So that's coming up. Hard to believe it's been 5 years. So at the end of this month, we'll be starting our sixth year of podcasts. So we got to figure out some way of celebrating, but
yes,
I don't know. We'll figure that out. But yeah, 5 years. So if you're looking for something to listen to while you stitch, there's 5 years of podcasts. Most all but a few months, there are two shows per week. So
lots of listening time.
There certainly is. Okay, so Christmas gifts. Now, Max, your husband, got yes. you a thread holder, and you sent me a picture of that thing.
Yeah.
I got to know more because that is really cool.
He made it, actually. He and my brother-in-law is a woodworker. I don't volunteer him for things because he gets bored easily. So he, if he makes one or two, he's done. He's
like, oh, okay. One of those. Okay.
Yeah. So I had shown them a photo of one of the antique-y ones that they look old, antiques. And I said, yeah, I need something to put my threads in that spins around. And I said I wanted a pin cushion on top. And I thought, no, I don't want a pin cushion. I said, I just want a magnet on the top, one of those rare earth magnets. So he turned it, the wood, and he made the little pegs and he figured out the exact height, and he put it on. And it just, the base spins around, and I love it. It doesn't spin, like if I pull a length of thread out, the whole thing doesn't go spinning around, which is I was afraid of.
Like a toilet paper roll, and then you got 14 feet of thread.
Yeah, no. Or that the whole, like if you pull it, you know, the force of pulling the thread would make the whole mechanism move.
Uh-huh.
I was afraid of that too, and I thought, oh, that would be a real mess. But it's been fabulous. I've been having my Spring Hill threads on it, and I can just, oh yeah, I need this color now, and I just turn it a little bit and I pull it out. My brother-in-law was worried that I would poke myself with needles with the magnet on top. And I was like, no, I'm fine. I haven't poked myself yet. At least not that. And so, but it holds a, I have my tacobari up there right now. And so I just stick it right on top. So it's easy to get to where it's, so it's not sagging my fabric or whatever.
Yeah.
Nice. It's nice. They did a nice job on it.
You win. You win. So it holds soie d'Alger or those spools.
Right.
And so you can just load up, if you're working on a motif, you can just load up the whatever number of colors, and then they're all sitting right there, and then you just pull off a length of thread.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is when I work on my lizard canvas, I'm using some sort of ribbon floss that's on those spools. And I've had messes with that where it's, you've pulled a length and the whole thing is kind of unwound. And so it's a little, the height is a little short for those, but it still holds it. So I don't have to worry about it falling on the ground. So I could put those lengths on there too.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect. Yeah. It works great. Yeah.
Well, you win, because that thing is really neat. You win. Yep.
It was a great, gift.
Yep. That is perfect. Yep. And then Jennifer got us pouches for tools and stuff, which is really nice. And then needle minders from Stitch Life Studio.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Those things are beautiful.
They are nice. Yeah. They are. I like them. And I still haven't filled my little pouch up, but I'm thinking I'm going to fill it with things to put with my my to-go bag, the one I take to guild meetings.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
So that way, because, you know, you always get there and you're like, okay, I forgot my scissors. Does someone have a pair of scissors? Crap. So yep. Just put it all in there and put it in my my guild bag, and then it's always ready. And then she said it can hold your phone somehow. And I thought that'd be perfect too, because I need some way to hold my phone while I'm at meetings sometimes. Keep my agenda on there. So yeah, that'll be great. Thanks, Jennifer.
Yep. Yeah. If you stitch out of the house, I think you need to have a to-go bag. And yeah, you don't, you get a second set of everything, needles and everything. So you can just grab it and go. And then when you get there, it's not, oh, geez, I left the needles at home. Yeah, I think you need to do that. Then, of course, you got to remember the chart, the project and the chart. But, right. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, but I thought it would be nice just to, because I normally carry scissors and all that stuff when I, in my bags. But it's be nice to have something that's just specifically with, you know, a Takabari, scissors, scissors for cutting things that are like metallic, like Krynek, put a cheap pair of kids scissors in there. 'Cause that's the other issue. You know, I don't normally keep all that stuff.
Right.
But that's perfect.
Yeah. Don't, in your to-go bag, it's the cheap $3-4, throwaway scissors from the needlework store. Right. If you want to take your $50 Dovo scissors, that's fine. But that's the ones you store that is in there is the cheap ones. So if they get lost while you're out and about, you don't cry.
No, definitely cheap ones.
Yeah.
Definitely cheap ones in there.
Yep.
And then my son Andrew picked me up the Color and Fiber book that was recommended in our Natalie Dupuy Ode to the Palette class.
Oh, yes.
And I'd been looking for that, and I saw it came up, and they said, they've been telling me, you're the hardest person to buy for. And so I sent them the link, and then I was like, well, now I can't buy it. I got to wait to see if they managed to purchase it. And he did. And I had forgotten about it, actually, by the time it came up. So it was perfect. That book has a lot of great information about color, and it's no longer in print. So you have to get it on secondhand, and this was a great price on it, so it was perfect. I was excited.
That's good. Yeah, you're hard to buy for. Tell them to give me a call. I'll give you give them a list.
Well, that's what they told me. I know. Yeah. It kind of like.
No. Yeah. That'd be a pretty easy list to put together right there. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yep. All right. We better wrap this up. Holy smokes. Yeah, we definitely have to wrap it up. I just looked at the clock. Yep. All right. We're done. Tonight, we're back to the Stitch Hour, 8 o'clock Eastern Time on the YouTube channel. Jude Kingshot is with us Sunday. Thanks for listening.
Bye.